time to time, but something that we need to remind ourselves of often, the need to recognize all the blessings that God has given to us, all the blessings that God has provided for us. We're going to go back to that thought of Thanksgiving often. And it was recent and current world events that have caused me to think about this, that the physical blessings that we have here, being born in this country and living during this time period, the amazing amount of things that we have been blessed with, far greater than at any point in human history, probably, of the things that we have been afforded by being born here and by living during this time. You know, no matter how many people in this country try to degrade and demonize it, there's never been another place in human history, I believe, to this point where men and women enjoy and have so many physical blessings and have such peace and have such comfort living here in this nation. But when we look across the world at all the things happening in other countries, you know, especially today, when we look at these current events that are happening, it becomes more evident of just how blessed we are. It's so important to get a perspective from time to time and let these things wake us up to realize how blessed we actually are, to see all the good things that have happened to us in our life. You know, in this era of the internet and social media, you can see these current events, you can see the cruelty and the atrocities of war almost as they happen in real time. You get just a glimpse of what is happening. And you see all these images as I've been looking at them throughout the week on social media, these images and these videos that are heartbreaking, that show people suffering, that show fathers hugging their family as their family leaves them. And they stay back to fight a war, having no idea if they'll ever see their family again. You see normal citizens in this war having to arm themselves, not being able to sleep at night in their own homes, fearing for their lives. You see people living in subway stations and train stations because of fears of bombings that are happening in their own homes. You know, these things are unimaginable to us in a way, but it's an amazing thing to be able to witness and to be able to see in real time. And hopefully these things provide us with a perspective, a slap in the face sometimes, to recognize the blessings that we do have here on this earth. You know, it's an amazing contrast. I was thinking to myself as you know, we think about this war going on in Ukraine, and Ukraine is about 8 hours ahead of us in time. And as I sit at home watching basketball games at night, you can follow along online and on social media, and you can see this war happening in another country eight hours ahead of us. And it's just an amazing contrast to think about. While we live here in peace and in prosperity, there are people all throughout the world who are living in fear of their lives at this time, living in a constant fear of whether or not they will be able to see tomorrow, whether or not they will be able to see their husbands or their wives or their children. You know, it's a huge event like this that can bring these ideas right into the forefront. But you know, it's not only this. You can look all throughout the world at any time, and you can see other nations that are at war. You can see the extreme poverty all around the world and hunger and distress. And we can see that all throughout the world. And we need to look at these things from time to time and recognize how blessed we are, how thankful we should be for the blessings that God has provided us, that we can lead a life here in this country with relative ease and with relative comfort. And I mention all these things as a way of talking about having this perspective, to recognize how blessed we are, and in turn ask ourselves some questions about, do we truly appreciate the blessings that we have? Do we truly appreciate all that God has given to us, all the good things that we have in this life? And then in turn, do we use the blessings that we have to bless others? Do we take those things that we have been given, and then do we give to others to bless their lives? and to ask the question, when people look at us, do they see a person who is thankful, who is grateful, who is praising God for all that God has done for us? Do they see too often too many people who spend their time complaining and murmuring over the smallest and most trivial things that really, in the grand scheme of things, do not matter? You know, as we recognize how blessed we are, I mean, we don't have a promise that we will always be in this country and we will always have peace. You know, we learn from going out throughout the old prophets this morning. As we go throughout those, we see God rules in the nations of men and he gives it to whom he pleases. And we see he uses evil men in evil nations to take down empires that probably at one time thought they were invincible. As we talked about the Babylonians, and then the Medes overtook them, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans, all these powerful nations at one time fell. So we recognize that, yes, there could become a time when we could become like the world around us, that we could be living in danger. And we recognize that. But the one thing we must always recognize, that even if things do get bad, even if things do become tumultuous, we always have to recognize that we're still blessed because of what God has done for us through his Son. That no matter how difficult times get, the blessings God has provided us through his Son and the sacrifice his Son gave on the cross are the greatest blessings that we have ever received. What he has done for us spiritually in giving his Son and providing a hope of a home in heaven with him one day, that no matter what happens here on this earth, if we lose all our physical possessions, if we lose that peace that we have had for so many years, if we lose all those things, we are still incredibly blessed because God has taken care of us spiritually. He has provided us with everything we need to become a child of God, and he has provided us with an eternal rest if we follow after him, if we believe on him, and if we have a faith that does not waver. But as I mentioned, one of the main things I want to focus on this morning is, do we appreciate the time we live in now? Do we truly appreciate the blessings that we have now living in this country and living during this time? We read in Ephesians 3 in verses 20 through 21 to begin the service this morning how God has done exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and all that we think. We have to recognize that the blessings we have, the abundance that we have, comes from the Almighty Creator. He has given us all that we need. Psalm 23, a psalm we know very well, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He gives us those things that we need. James 1 and verse 17 tells us that everything that is good, every perfect gift, comes from the Father above. James writes in verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures." Yes, every good thing, every perfect gift comes from the Father above. What is our reaction to those blessings? What is our reaction to all these good things that God has provided for us? Paul told the Colossians how they should react with a heart of thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there. And this book is similar to Ephesians in a way, talking about the blessings that we find in Christ and all the things that Christ has provided for us. But in Colossians 2 and verse 5, Paul writes to the Colossian brethren. He says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." I like this passage. We see passages all throughout the Scriptures that tell us to be thankful. To be thankful. We see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I like how Paul describes it here in Colossians 2 and verse 7. How are we to be thankful? He says, we are to be abounding in thanksgiving. The NIV, or the New American Standard, translates that word abounding as overflowing with thanksgiving. It's something that people should be able to easily see in our lives. It's overflowing from us. In everything we do and how we speak, we are abounding with thanksgiving because of all the things that God has done for us. And I want to emphasize first again, the greatest blessings that God has given us are those spiritual blessings. And that's the context of the book of Colossians. When you look at that context in Colossians 2 in verses 5 through 7, he's talking about the things they have received in Christ Jesus in verse 6. He's talking about them being steadfast in their faith in verse 5. And in verse 7, being established in the faith as they have been taught. So yes, the greatest blessings that God has given to us are the blessings that we received through Christ Jesus. And because of those great spiritual blessings, we should be overflowing with thanksgiving. In Colossians 1, just the chapter before, in verses 3 through 6, he talks about giving thanks for the hope that we have. We should be giving thanks for that hope of a home in heaven with God. In verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 5, he says, why? Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Yes, we should be overflowing with thanksgiving because of the hope, the blessing that we have of a hope of a home in heaven with God one day. So yes, by far and away, the greatest blessings that we have are those spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. So no matter what our physical state is, no matter whether our life is in danger, if we're living in turmoil, if we're living during a time of war, no matter what our state is, we always have the greatest blessings of all because we have those spiritual blessings in Christ. Yet I think we recognize at the same time, like I mentioned, just how physically and materially blessed we are living here during this time period. We always have to be cognizant of that and always giving thanks and offering thanks to God for these things that we do have. And then recognizing that we are so blessed, we have to use our blessings to bless others, to be a servant to others, to help others who are in need. It's easy to become apathetic, isn't it, to what we have, because most of us, we were raised as a kid, we always had these things, right? We always had these blessings. We always had a house to live in, a warm place to get away from the cold or to cool down from the heat. We've had a bed to sleep in. We've had an abundance of food to eat. We haven't had to worry about anything hardly in our lives. We've had these blessings. And so it's easy to forget about it and think this is the way it's always been. And to forget about God, the provider of these good things, the provider of all of these gifts. And then we can become apathetic and indifferent in our lives. And we can become ungrateful. And that becoming ungrateful, becoming unthankful, having a lack of gratitude always leads a man down a dangerous path. And we can see that all throughout biblical history. Ingratitude, unthankfulness for the abundant blessings that God has provided is an unfortunate characteristic of many of God's people, isn't it? When we look at the Israelites, we talked about that when we looked at the lessons from the wilderness. But the Israelites always went through this same pattern. They were doing well. They were serving God. They were humble. And then what happens? They become inflated in their own ego. They become materialistic, they become selfish, they become unthankful, and then they rebel against God. There's a correlation there. Every time, isn't there? There's the correlation between ingratitude and rebellion. We see it every time with the Israelites. When they lose their sight of what God had done for them, they begin to rebel against God. Exodus 15. Exodus 15 is a perfect chapter. A perfect chapter that illustrates this condition that the Israelites went through all throughout their life. In Exodus 15, after they had just crossed the Red Sea, Moses, it describes here as the song of Moses, sings this song of triumph for what the Lord had done for them. Verse 1, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. He goes on to describe what he did to Pharaoh and his chariots. In verse 6, your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. You have dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. And this whole song continues like this. In verse 11, it describes God. Who is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, glorious in your holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. And the Song of Moses continues to go on in just that way. And then in verses 20 through 21, we see the Song of Miriam. And she again is praising the Lord. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So we see here the people praising God for his might, for his power, for his strength, recognizing his mercy, recognizing his glory, recognizing all these wonderful attributes of God. But as the chapter finishes, just not moments later, what do we see the Israelites doing? In the very same chapter, verse 23, now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Just, it seems like minutes later, I don't know how long it was later, but they go from praising the Almighty God to complaining against God because they didn't have everything that they wanted. In an instance, they turn, they become unthankful, and they begin to rebel against the Lord their God, who had just performed all sorts of wonderful works and all sorts of powerful miracles on their behalf. And just a few moments later, they're unthankful, they're complaining, and they're murmuring about what God has provided for them. That's a lesson for us, isn't it? It's a lesson for us today. We can come to worship, we can serve God, and we can worship God on a Sunday, and we can be unthankful by Tuesday, can't we? We can be ungrateful, and we can be complaining about the things in our life just a few days later. We have to think about this, and we have to learn the lesson from the Israelites who so often forgot the blessings that God had provided for them. They forgot to count everything that God had given to them, all the blessings that God had given to them. They became selfish, they became unthankful, and they rebelled time and time against God. Do we appreciate what we have, and do we show that appreciation to God and to others around us for all the wonderful blessings that God has provided us with? And then in turn, the second point, do we then use our blessings to bless others? Do we use the good things and all the wonderful gifts that we have been benefited with, that we have been provided with in living in this country and living during this time, our monetary means, our houses, whatever it may be, do we use our blessings to in turn bless others? We have to recognize that being a child of God, we have to live out the characteristics of God. And one of the characteristics of God is that God was a giving God. He was a one who gave us all that we needed. You know, 1 John 4 and verse 8 and 1 John 4 and verse 16 describes God as a loving God, that God is love. And how did God show his love? What was the way that God showed his love? It's through giving his son, right? He gave us his son in John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, God is a God of love, and God shows that love through what he gave to us. And if we want to have the characteristics of God, we have to ask about our own lives. What are we giving to others? What are we giving to our family? What are you giving to the church? And what are you giving to those on the outside? How are you trying to bless others with the things that you have been blessed with? 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 16. John writes about this idea of taking care of our brethren and how that is a show of our love. 1 John 3 and verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brothers in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So if we want to show proper love like God showed us love, like Christ showed us love, we have to show it through our actions, right? It's not in words only. If we see brethren that are in need and we have the ability to take care of them, if we have the world's goods to take care of them, as he says in verse 17, we need to be doing that. Let us show our love through our giving and through our actions and being a servant to those around us by using our blessings to bless others. You know, thinking about this characteristic of God, we think God is a God of grace, right? Also, he is a God who has dispensed his grace upon us. He's dispensed his mercy upon us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he's described as the Father of mercy. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren here, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." So when we think about more of who God is, he's a God of grace and he's a God of mercy. He's the Father of mercy. He has given those gifts to us. Are we reciprocal with those gifts to those around us? Are we gracious and are we merciful to those in need? To those who are around us who are struggling, who may not have all that we have, do we have the same characteristic that God has, that we're merciful towards them, that we're gracious towards them, that we're using our blessings and in turn blessing those who are less fortunate around us? What are we doing with the blessings that God has provided for us? Thirdly, do others see us abounding in thanksgiving? You know, that was where really we began the lesson from Colossians, is that we are to be a people abounding and overflowing in thanksgiving. And you have to ask yourselves the question, do people around us, do the people that know you, your friends, your coworkers, would they describe you as one who is abounding or overflowing in thanksgiving? What do people see in us? And I don't mean to be in a showy or pretentious way. Well, that's far from what we're talking about. But when people hear us talk, do they hear us being thankful to God and what God has done for us and what God has provided for us? Do they see us showing gratitude for the things that we have? Do they see us showing gratitude towards God? You know, we talked about Paul. We began there in Colossians 2, telling them to overflow in thanksgiving. But Paul was a man who practiced what he preached, right? We see in every book that Paul wrote, he was thankful to those brethren. He was thankful to God. He was thankful for everything that he had. You know, if you turn to the beginning of Colossians, before he told them to overflow with thanksgiving, he describes his thankfulness for them and for their faith and for their hope. Colossians 1, we read, he said, "We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith and of your love for all the saints and because of the hope and because of all these different things." Paul practiced what he preached. In every letter that he wrote, we see him constantly reaffirming his thanksgiving for the brethren, for God, and for all the gifts that God had provided them. Are we that same way? Are we thankful for this church? Are we thankful for the brethren? Do we show our thanksgiving? Are we overflowing with thanksgiving, as Paul told the Colossians that they needed to be? Like I said, what image do we give off to our friends? What image do we give off to our coworkers? What image do we give off online and on social media and on the things we talk about? What do people see us talking about? Do they see us constantly complaining? Do they see us constantly murmuring about how things are? Do they see us as an angry and bitter people that complain and murmur over the smallest things? It's impossible for one who is a complainer and for one who is a murmurer, for one who is easily angry, it's impossible for that man to truly be thankful. It's impossible for that man to be thankful as God intends him to be thankful if we're constantly complaining and murmuring about the smallest things in this life. Let's have some proper perspective. And that's why we began the lesson where we did, looking out at the world around us and the troubles that they face. And then we look at our own lives and we complain about the silliest things. We murmur and we complain and we whine about things that do not matter things that are so small in comparison to what a lot of the world around us faces. Yes, our the blessings that we have in comparison to the world around us, and not only the world around us, but throughout all of history, right? We are blessed more than at any point in history. You can go back to the Old Testament and the lesson we got from Lamentations and Jeremiah and see a people that were suffering, a people that struggled, a people that faced very real problems. And yet, in spite of all this, in spite of seeing all these things, we spend too much of our time complaining about trivial matters. Let's not take for granted what we have. You know, too often this nation's become a nation of complainers who like to complain about every little thing. That if the government isn't doing something they like, they complain about it. We complain about politics. We complain about recent events. You know, this has become even more evident recently, hasn't it? With COVID and masks and all these silly things that we spend our time worrying about, we spend our time complaining about. And it pales in comparison when you look at perspective of people's lives who are actually in danger, who don't know if they're going to wake up to see the next day, and yet we spend our time complaining about the silliest of things. Everything that we disagree with, we have to utter a complaint about and put it out there. And so the question is, what do people see in you? What do you talk about? Are you constantly complaining about little things in this world? Are you constantly not showing gratitude for the things that you do have, not recognizing how blessed you are, but complaining over the small things? What do people see in you? What image are you portraying? Are you overflowing in thanksgiving? Are you abounding in thanksgiving? When people look at your lives, when they hear you talk, when they see what you post on social media, does it show a child of God who is abounding and overflowing in thanksgiving? You know, if we all did this, if we all had that attitude that Paul describes in Colossians, if we would all live that way, we would see growth in our own lives, we would see growth in the church, and we would see growth in the community around us. And that's what a child of God is to be, one who overflows with thanksgiving, one who abounds in thanksgiving. And we of all people should be doing that, recognizing all the things that we have been blessed with. It would create a better atmosphere in our lives. It would create a better atmosphere in the church. And it would be a shining light to the world around us. Like I mentioned before, we're not guaranteed peace. We're not guaranteed security throughout our lives. But we have it now. We've been living for over 150 years. There's never been a war on our soil. We've been living in relatively peace and prosperity for a long time. How are we using that time? How are we using the blessings that God has provided to us during this time of peace and during this time of comfort? Are we taking advantage of those things? Or do we spend too much time complaining about every little thing that the government does, that the politicians do? Do we worry too much about that and not focusing on what God has given to us, the blessings that God has provided for us, and in turn using our blessings to bless others? To tell them about the Word of God, to give them help if they are in need. What are we doing? What do people see in our lives? Yes, as we conclude, let us look at these recent events. Let us look at these current events, and let's let that help us provide us with perspective. That we need to be going day after day counting our blessings and being thankful and being grateful for all that God has done for us, all that God has provided for us. If we want to be a proper child of God, we have to be overflowing with thanksgiving. We have to be abounding in thanksgiving. If we want to be a church that's on the right path, we have to have members that are overflowing in thanksgiving and not constantly complaining and murmuring about things out there in the world. And then we have to be using our blessings to bless others. And always remember, the most important thing, always remember that no matter what state we find ourselves in, maybe it comes a day when we find ourselves in danger and we find ourselves like some of those other nations around the world. No matter what state we find ourselves in, the most important blessings that we have are those spiritual blessings in Christ that God has provided through His Savior, that nothing in the world can take us away from those things, that can take us away from that hope of a home in heaven with God, no matter what is happening in our lives, no matter what trouble, no matter what discouragement, no matter what turmoils. You know, that's when we sang the song, Count Your Blessings, that's kind of the context of the song. It talks about the billows of our lives and the turmoils and the difficulties. And he's saying in that context, still count your blessings and be thankful because God has provided us with the greatest blessing of all, and that is salvation through His Son. Let us always remember those things. And if you have not yet obeyed the gospel this morning, if you have not yet taken advantage of that blessing, there's no better time to do so than now. And we ask, if that be the case, that you come forward now as we stand and sing this invitation song.